What's up, guys? Welcome to the Flame Entertainment and Sports. It's your boy Rob here. Want to talk to you guys really quickly about SeatGeek, as we recently joined Team SeatGeek. Of course, you know, SeatGeek, one of the best ticketing apps out there. My favorite part about it, each deal is rated on a scale from 0 to 10. So they do all they can to help you land the best deal possible. And yeah, it's really cool. So happy to share too that we have an exclusive code. If you use code ROBCAO, R-O-B-C-A-O, you will receive $20 off your first order at SeatGeek. And what better time than now? Holiday season, Christmas season, you know, to give someone some, you know, some pretty cool tickets to a game, a concert, stand-up comedy show. So once again, make sure to use code ROBCAO, R-O-B-C-A-O, for $20 off your first purchase at SeatGeek. Your boy Rob here. Live here on the @flame_es on Instagram. For those of you listening on the podcast feed, whether it be on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, any of those podcast platforms, make sure to, you know, if you have Instagram, to come over here, give us a follow, check us out here at @flame_es. I know as of late I've been doing, you know, more Instagram lives than I've ever done, and yeah, I just decided, you know, to kind of change things up and, you know, try this out for some time. Of course, I'm gonna go back, you know, eventually, of course, my regular episodes, you know, how I record them and, you know, put them out. But I thought, why not, you know, these last couple, you know, episodes, just yeah, go live on Instagram here and talk. So yeah, happy Monday, hope everyone's doing good. I'm gonna be talking some NFL on here, and also at the end I'll mention a little bit, you know, about baseball, with of course Shohei Ohtani finally, you know, making a decision as he signed with the LA Dodgers on a record, on a North American sports record-breaking contract, which is for 10 years, and it is worth $700 million. But with that said, before I talk Ohtani, I'm going to focus more on the NFL. So to start off with the NFL, I'm going to go over, you know, the scores so far, how the games have gone so far this week. And then I'm going to be ending the NFL portion, you know, with a little preview. I know there's two Monday night games tonight, but of course, you know, my Miami Dolphins, we played a night here at home at Hard Rock Stadium against the Tennessee Titans. The other game is the Packers against the Giants, so I'll talk about that one briefly, you know. But I'm probably going to give more, you know, of a bigger preview to the Dolphins-Titans game. But with that said, so to talk about some of the scores of some of the games so far that have occurred in week 14 of this NFL season. So Thursday night football, it was before that game, I remember, you know, looking over, and yeah, the New England Patriots, you know, they pick up a big 21-18 win on the road in Pittsburgh against the Steelers. You know, the Patriots have arguably had, you know, the most inconsistent offense in the league this year, I would say. And somehow, you know, they're able to put up three touchdowns against, you know, a pretty good defense, I would say, and the Steelers. Of course, the Steelers have been, I talked about it on the podcast a couple weeks ago when they became like 7-4. I said they're arguably the most, you know, unlikely team in NFL history to be 7-4. So I'm not surprised that they lost to New England, because honestly, I still don't know how they have the record that they do have in terms of Pittsburgh. But yeah, you know, I mean, shout out to New England. It's been, of course, a difficult season, but yeah, they pick up a big win. Bailey Zappe was a starting quarterback, and he threw three touchdowns in the game. And then Ramondre Stevenson, their RB1, he was not available. So Ezekiel Elliott was actually the workhorse at the running back position for the Pats, and he did a great job in the game. And yeah, actually, the last two games, he's gotten more playing time due to Stevenson, you know, suffering from an injury. But it's been pretty cool, you know, to see Zeke. The more opportunities he's gotten now, he's delivered, you know. So that's cool to see for sure. Another game here to talk about. Oh, yeah, the Chicago Bears. I think they picked up a very impressive win. A big division win at home against the Detroit Lions, as they beat the Lions 28-13. And yeah, I mean, it's crazy to see, you know, Chicago. I was talking about them with my dad yesterday. And basically, Chicago, like, I've always, since he entered the league, I feel like I've been extra high on Justin Fields in comparison to the majority of fans or people or quote-unquote experts, whatever you want to call it. I just think he's one of those guys that no matter how he's doing in the game, he's going to give it his all, and more times than not, towards the end of the game, his team's going to have a chance to win. Of course, unfortunately, you know, for Fields and the Bears throughout his career, they have been in close games, but ultimately they've lost the majority of them. So that's been, you know, the biggest issue, I would say. But, I mean, yeah, this is a big-time win against, you know, one of the best teams in the league in Detroit. And it's interesting now to see how Detroit, you know, is going to, you know, answer back to this big loss. Especially, you know, as of late, they haven't been that same, you know, powerhouse that they started the season as. And in my opinion, like me personally, I'm not shocked. I'm not saying that in a bad way, because I do like the Lions. You know, I'm happy for them. I'm a fan of Dan Campbell. I'm happy for, you know, the success Jared Goff has had. And, you know, that the defense has been good. Alex Anzalone, he's one of my favorite linebackers in the league. So, you know, I like Detroit, but I feel like, you know, they may be, in terms of expectations, people may be expecting too much from them. Because I still feel like, to compare it to the Dolphins really quick, right? The Lions of this year kind of remind me of the Dolphins of last year. So if that is truly the case, and, you know, people got to kind of temper their expectations and not, you know, overjudge them, because, I mean, this is really their second year of being, like, you know, a really good team. So I think with the Lions, you know, there has to be patience and understanding, because they might not be on that level that people are expecting them to be at yet, if that makes sense. So yeah, shout out to the Bears though, you know, big time division win, like I said. Oh, another huge win, the Cincinnati Bengals, they absolutely crushed the Indianapolis Colts 34-14. So the Bengals continue to find a way to compete and win with Jake Browning. You know, their original backup quarterback, of course, after Joe Burrow suffered a season-ending injury a couple weeks ago. Hey, they've continued the fight, and yeah, they pick up a huge win against a Colts team that was one of the hottest teams in the league. And not only just a regular one, they went, like I said, 34-14. So the Bengals, you know, continue to be in that playoff race. And yeah, Jake Browning continues to impress. So that's super cool to see for sure. See another game here to cover. Oh yeah, I mean, this is another team that they've just been absolutely, like, so impressive to me all season, and that's the Cleveland Browns. They pick up another big time win. They beat Jacksonville 31-27. And I believe Cleveland's had, what, like 3 or 4 starting quarterbacks this year, and they still have somehow, like, found a way to be, you know, one of the best teams, not only in the AFC, but one of the best teams in the league. And of course, it starts, you know, with the defense, because they have arguably the best defense in football. But still, to have, like, so many different quarterbacks and continue, you know, to find a way to win is incredible. And I think a lot of, you know, respect should be given to Kevin Stefanski, their head coach. But, and yeah, shout out to Joe Flacco. You know, a couple weeks ago, he was not in the league, and now look, he picks up a big time win against a big time opponent in the Jaguars, you know. Yeah, and like I said, the Browns win 31-27. Like, let me look at the standings really quick. So yeah, now with that win, Cleveland is now tied with Jacksonville, who they defeated in the game. So Cleveland and Jacksonville are both 8-5. Along with Kansas City. So there's 3 teams right now in the AFC that are 8-5. Okay. So let's see. Speaking of Kansas City, actually. Let's see, where's their score at here? Speaking of, yeah, Kansas City. So here we go. The Chiefs actually, you know, they lose once again. This time to the Buffalo Bills. And of course, you know, the Buffalo Bills have been one of the most up and down teams in the league. They were 6-6, you know, coming into this contest. And, yeah, I mean, they pick up, you know, a big win against Kansas City. You know, Buffalo, their back's against the wall. They're basically, at this point, like, every win really counts for them, because, like, they're trying to make the playoffs, you know. With this win, they moved to 7-6 on the year. And, yeah, they went, I don't know if I said the score, 20-17. It was a very interesting game. Buffalo, you know, came out very hot. At one point, they had a 17-7 lead, and then in the second half, Kansas City fired back. They scored 10 unanswered points to make it a 17-17 ball game. But ultimately, Buffalo wins, you know, with a game-winning field goal by Tyler Bass, to make it a 20-17 lead. And then, of course, the controversy at the end of the game, it's what's really been discussed within the last 24 hours within, you know, the NFL community. So the Chiefs, with about a minute and 22 seconds left, I believe, Patrick Mahomes throws a pass, you know, a deep pass to Travis Kelce. Kelce's about to be tackled down, and he laterals the ball, throws it back to Kadarius Toney, the receiver. And Toney ultimately ends up, you know, going into the end zone and, you know, and giving the Chiefs a potential, you know, go-ahead touchdown. But ultimately, it was called back due to Toney being called for a false start. And I know a lot of people have been, you know, criticizing the referees for this call, but at the end of the day, if you go by the rule book, that was the right call because Kadarius Toney, his foot was over the line of scrimmage. So, I mean, I know, like, Patrick Mahomes is screaming. I know, like, the Chiefs have been complaining, and I understand, you know. I think one of the main reasons I feel like that all this, you know, frustrating time is going on and all these, you know, frustrating moments for them is because they've really been struggling lately at a pace that we haven't really seen them struggle at within the Mahomes era when you really think about it. So I think really all those frustrating moments are adding up, and I think they're just taking it out on the NFL and the referees really at the end of the day, because yeah, like it was a correct call because yeah, like I said, Kadarius Toney, he had his foot over the line. So I mean, if you're gonna scream at anyone, or I mean, if you're Mahomes, I mean, I'm not saying to scream at your teammate, I don't like that at all, but if you're gonna scream at anyone, scream at Toney, don't scream at the referee. The referee did his job. Kadarius Toney did not do his job. So, and I think it's crazy because ultimately why they lost that game, I think it's been the Chiefs' biggest downfall this year, which is their wide receiving core. It's been, you know, arguably the worst receiving core in the NFL. Even statistically, like, they have the most drops in the league. And yeah, there's just been multiple games where the Chiefs could have easily won, and they've basically, you know, beaten themselves. Ultimately, the receivers haven't come up, and the majority of the time, it's really been, you know, not executing in terms of catching the ball. But this time, it was execution. It was a pre-snap execution, and at the end of the day, like I said, you follow the rule book, that's the right call. So I really don't understand all the people complaining about it, but hey, like I said, it's a frustrating time for Kansas City right now. They haven't really felt this throughout the Mahomes era, I would say. So, I mean, it is what it is. I think ultimately we're going to see what this team's really made of and what they really could do under pressure. Because really, as great as they've been, like I said, I don't think they've ever felt this, these frustrating moments. Or, you know, it's kind of been, oh, they're always the number one seed. You know, they always have home field advantage. So we're ultimately going to see, you know, of course, how the season plays out. And it's going to be interesting for sure. Another game I want to talk about, the New York Jets and Zach Wilson pick up a huge 30-6 victory against the Houston Texans. I mean, wow. This one's actually absolutely incredible. Like, Houston, right? One of the hottest teams in the league with arguably the best rookie quarterback in NFL history in C.J. Stroud. Unfortunately, Stroud exited the game with a head injury, so it may be a concussion. Gonna have to, you know, monitor that going forward. But, of course, wishing him all the best. But besides that, I mean, yeah, just a big-time win for the Jets, you know. I don't know how you can't be happy for Zach Wilson after everything he's gone through, and to see him pick up a huge win, especially at home in front of the crowd that, you know, has really given him a chance. I mean, I know that it's really how it is, like, in a lot of places, but especially in New York, you know. If you're not great, like, right away, it's like, oh, he's terrible, boo him off the field. But then when he does good, oh, everyone's praising him and bowing down to him. I don't like that energy, but I mean, I saw it here. I've seen it here for years. All right, the connection paused there, so I'm not sure what got cut out. But yeah, but to compare Wilson to the Tua situation, I mean, all of a sudden, oh, the Dolphins are at the top now. So, oh, all of a sudden, all these people that, oh, wanted Deshaun Watson, that, you know, wanted these other quarterbacks, wanted Herbert, wanted Tua gun. All of a sudden, now they're all, like, kissing his butt, you know. So I feel like with this win for the Texans, you know, there's going to be those fans kissing Zach Wilson's butt after all the crap they've talked about him and all the things, bad stuff they post on social media. So I'm just very happy, you know, for Zach Wilson. Give me a second. Let me take a drink of something here because, yeah, my throat's getting dry. All right, there we go. But yeah, you know, shout out, like, once again to Zach Wilson. Big time win for the Jets. Let me look at the standings, actually. And they improved to 5-8, so they're still in that playoff race. Okay, another game to talk about. Let's see. Okay, the San Francisco 49ers, they pick up another big time win as they defeat the Seattle Seahawks. Once again, they defeat them 28-16. San Francisco stays atop the NFC. They move to 10-3 on the year. And yeah, you know, Seattle drops to 6-7. Seattle season has been an interesting one. There's been a lot of ups, a lot of downs, and you know, ultimately they got swept by their division rivals, you know, the 49ers. Seattle was without their starting quarterback Geno Smith as backup Drew Lock took the start in this one. But yeah, like I said, ultimately San Fran wins. Another game man, another impressive season, impressive story for the Denver Broncos continues. They pick up another big win. They defeat the LA Chargers 24-7. And Denver now sits at 7-6. And they're right outside of the playoff picture. It's an amazing thing to see. I've talked about it multiple times on here. I know multiple people have talked about it, but it's just incredible to think of what the Denver Broncos have been able to do, how they've been able to regroup on the fly. After that game where, you know, the Dolphins scored 70 points on them, now they're at 7-6 and are right outside of the playoff picture and, you know, ready to burst in because they're one of the hottest teams in the league. And it's just been a super impressive story for the Broncos. And unfortunately, in that game, Justin Herbert, he exited the contest with, a finger injury. So, you know, of course, wishing him all the best. And then, the Sunday night game, I mean, arguably, you know, one of the hottest teams in the league picked up another big-time win as the Dallas Cowboys defeat their division rivals, the Philadelphia Eagles, 33-13. And, Dallas just really continues to impress. Dak Prescott continues to be, you know, arguably the most impactful player on a team in the NFL. And it's just been very impressive to see what the Cowboys have been able to do so far. They are now tied for the one seed in the NFC. They're 10-3, and they're the two seed, but like they have the same record as the 49ers and the Eagles. So right now we have San Francisco as the one seed in the NFC at 10-3, Dallas as a two seed at 10-3, then Detroit as a three seed at 9-4, and then Tampa as a four seed at 6-7. That's crazy. Then the fifth seed is Philadelphia, 10-3, Minnesota 7-6 in the sixth seed, and then one of the teams playing tonight, the Green Bay Packers, they're currently the seventh seed in the NFC at 6-6. And yeah, so speak about Green Bay a little bit. So yeah, tonight they'll be taking on the New York Giants, and of course the Giants has been a struggle for them this year. They currently stand at 4-8. But with that said, you know, they're a hard-fighting team. Their defense has improved as the season's gone along. Of course, the offense has been tough. The offensive line has been, you know, full of injuries, inconsistent play. Of course, Daniel Jones goes out. Even Tyrod Taylor, the backup, goes out. Saquon Barkley, you know, missed multiple games. Tommy DeVito, the undrafted rookie, he's starting tonight, you know, against Green Bay. And I think it's going to be an interesting matchup because we have arguably the hottest team in the league in Green Bay. And then going up against a Giants team that no one's really giving a chance to. But they have an extra chip on their shoulder. So I think it's going to be an interesting contest. But ultimately, I do have the Packers, you know, staying hot and improving the 7-6 on the year. Now to talk about the other Monday Night Football game. Of course, my Miami Dolphins, we play host to the Tennessee Titans out of Nashville. I love Nashville, so I had to get that in there. But yeah, so Hard Rock Stadium tonight, Titans, Dolphins, and I think it's going to be a great game. You know, Miami, we're looking to go to 10-3 on the year. Tennessee's looking to go to 5-8 on the year, and they're looking to stay, you know, somewhat relevant in terms of a long shot to make the playoff. But I mean, basically for this game, talk about the Dolphins really quick. So I think ultimately in this game, if we're able to establish the run from the get-go, it's gonna be huge, because this translates into what I think is the biggest strength of the Titans defense, which is their run game, because it starts in the middle of that defensive line with Jeffrey Simmons, who's arguably the best, you know, defensive tackle in the league. Of course, people look at him, they see the size, the strength, of course, and I understand, but the biggest thing with him that I think will shock people, and I think what separates him from the rest, is his motor. I don't know if you guys remember a couple weeks ago, the Dolphins, we took on the Raiders, and they have arguably the best defensive player in the league this year in Max Crosby. And what stands out about him, or makes him extra special, his motor. And I think the same thing comes here in this case with Jeffrey Simmons. I think his motor is incredible. And yeah, like I said, he's arguably the best defensive tackle in the league. So thankfully our offensive line, you know, we've been playing super hard and consistent, but it's going to be a hard matchup. But, you know, I'm confident we could get it done, obviously. But I do want to give Jeffrey Simmons his flowers, because he's one of the best players in the league. And yeah, like I said, we're able to establish that run game against arguably the best defensive tackle in football. I mean, damn, that would be freaking amazing. So you already know. With that said, the running back room is healthy. You know, Raheem Mostert, Devon Achane, Jeff Wilson, And then I'm trying to think overall. I'm pretty sure it's looking like Javon Holland, after missing last week's game, he should be back tonight. Of course, Durham Smythe returned last week, the tight end. Smythe returned last week, so he's healthy, of course, thank God. I think pretty much, like, big picture-wise, of course, you know, Jalen Phillips, we know he's out for the year. Of course, Jerome Baker, this will be the first game he misses after, you know, suffering an injury. And trying to think, but, you know, Duke Riley will step up in his place, and he's a guy you could always count on, and he goes above and beyond, just like Andrew Van Ginkel, who's been stepping up in the place of Jalen Phillips. And yeah, I think really it's going to be interesting to see our run game against the Titans' run defense. And then with that said, we'll make that even better for the Dolphins if they're able to establish the run, is that then they'll, you know, be able to utilize the play action game, because at the end of the day, the weakness really of the Titans defense comes in the secondary. But with that said, I do love their coach, Mike Vrabel. He's one of my favorite coaches in the league. I think the two coaches tonight are top five coaches in the league, and Mike Vrabel and Mike McDaniel. I think it's going to be a fun contest to watch. Looking forward, you know, to watching my Miami Dolphins play. I'm so happy that, you know, four of our last five games will be at home. I don't remember the last time that happened. I feel like the majority of seasons we end on the road, so I think it's a big blessing. But also, this team, you know, they've worked for this and they've earned this, you know, to end this, you know, regular season at home and get ready for the playoffs. But with all that said, it's all about the Titans right now. One game at a time, one play at a time. And I'm super excited to see my guys go out there tonight against Nashville's team. And how cool is this too? Of course, Ryan Tannehill, I know he's not starting anymore for the Titans, but this will be his first game back in Miami in 5 years, right? After he, we let him go and he went to Tennessee. So I'm hoping somehow, probably best case scenario will be pregame, since he's not starting. If they show him on the the video screens or whatever at the stadium, I'm hoping, you know, we all give him a standing ovation tonight, because he deserves it, man. He's one of those guys that you root for. He gives it his all, and yeah, I just, you know, I'll always be grateful for Tannehill's time here with the Dolphins, so you already know. But yeah, guys, with all that said, that wraps up my NFL talk. Now to talk a little Shohei Ohtani. Like I said at the beginning of the pod, wait, give me a sec. Drinking some coffee. My throat is dry from all the talking. But like I said at the beginning of the pod, Shohei Ohtani is officially signed, you know, with the LA Dodgers on a 10-year, $700 million contract. And basically, yeah, the biggest domino in MLB free agency has finally fallen. So now we're hoping, you know, for the rest of the guys to finally start signing. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, which is, you know, he's considered the second biggest domino, he's started to take meetings. He's reportedly met with the San Francisco Giants. I think he's set to meet with the New York Yankees, New York Mets, and of course there's other teams, including Ohtani's LA Dodgers, that, you know, have interest in bringing in Yamamoto to their starting pitching rotation. Sorry for that noise, by the way, in the back. I'm here parked and there's like a car alarm going off. But but yeah, in terms of other news I want to cover in baseball, the Marlins made a move last night, Sunday night, to acquire Christian Bethencourt, a catcher who was with the Tampa Bay Rays for the last couple of years. He's a 6'4" catcher. He allegedly has one of the best arms in baseball, and he hits for around like 230, which is a huge improvement compared to, like, you know, what we had here, hitting wise out of the catching position in recent memory. So I'm excited to see what he does for us. And at the end of the day, all we traded to Tampa was some cash. So I mean, I'll take this kind of move any day of the week. You know, there's not really a risk, and all you could get is a reward for me at the end of the day. So I'm excited to see how, you know, Bethencourt, you know, how he pans out here in Miami. Another thing really quickly, the Baltimore Orioles, they signed Craig Kimbrel, the legendary closer. Of course, due to their closer Felix Bautista, he's gonna be missing the upcoming 2024 season. And they signed Kimbrel to a 1-year, $13 million deal with an option for a team option for a second year. So I think that's a nice signing for Baltimore. And also, there are some reports that Baltimore may be on sale soon. New ownership may be coming in, and I think Orioles fans would be happy due to the lack of spending that this current owner has shown over the years, and especially at a time now where you're like literally in the beginning of a rebuild. You have the best farm system in baseball, and you just won over 100 games, but ultimately you didn't do anything in the playoffs. So I think that tells you, what should we do? Spend, you know, get a couple, you know, two or three big guys in here, specifically pitching wise, because hitting wise I think the Orioles are completely set. But yeah, guys, that pretty much wraps us up this IG Live NFL / quick MLB Ohtani recap. I don't know, that was random, but you guys know what I mean. But yeah, for those of you watching here, hope you guys enjoy. For those of you listening on the podcast feed, hope you guys enjoy as well. And you already know, fins up tonight. And yeah, till next time, everyone, take care. All right, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Before we wrap up this episode, I want to talk to you guys again about SeatGeek, of course. SeatGeek, like I said, to begin the episode, we recently joined Team SeatGeek, and it's just awesome, you know, to be part of one of the best, you know, ticketing apps out there. And like I said, to begin the show, what better time to buy someone's tickets to a sports game, a concert, stand-up comedy show? Make sure to use code ROBCAO, ROBCAO, for $20 off your first purchase at SeatGeek. Once again, use code ROBCAO, ROBCAO, for $20 off your first ticket purchase at SeatGeek. Till next time, everyone, take care.